It's time for Twig. This week in Google, Jeff Jarvis joins us from Medellin, Colombia. Also with us, Matthew Ingram from Canada. And sitting right next to me, Aaron Newcomb from NetApp. We're going to talk about all the Google announcements yesterday, what they might mean, what's happening to Twitter, and Aaron's got his toy box. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 320, recorded Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. X is for Nexus. This Week in Google is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. And by Little Bits, the easy way to build electronics with modular building blocks. Go to littlebits.com/twig and get $20 off your first kit, plus free shipping in the U.S. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/twig and using the promo code TWIG. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, and we're going to have a lot of fun this week. We've got a great panel set up for you and a little bit of show and tell.
Yes.
For today. Aaron Newcomb is here, and you brought toys.
I brought toys, lots of them. Yeah, we'll talk about those a little later on.
Can't wait. He's, of course, a maker, and you work at NetApp still?
Yep, still just working checking. At NetApp.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I should always ask.
Thanks to NetApp for letting me come do this.
Thank you, NetApp.
Very gracious with my time.
And you may see him on a regular basis on All About Android and on Floss Weekly.
He's on Floss Weekly this morning.
Many of our shows. Who are you interviewing this morning?
This morning we were doing, where's John? I can't remember the name of it. It's a Kickstarter rival, and they've got some interesting products. I'll talk about those too later.
Cool.
Pretty cool.
Cool. Also with us from Canada, it's our good friend Matthew Ingram, also from Fortune.com. Good to see you, Matthew. Welcome back.
Thanks.
And get this. Yes, Jeff Jarvis is here, but he's not here. He's in... I wish we could do a guessing game, but no one would ever guess where you are. Unless they saw that picture over your left shoulder.
There we go. There's the picture.
But that picture even is not what, what you think it is. Yes, Jeff Jarvis is in Medellin, Colombia. Which in how do they pronounce it?
Well, some say Medellin, some say Medellin.
Medellin. And you're there. Why?
I spoke last night at the foundation that honors Gabriel Garcia Marquez has the awards every year for the best in journalism throughout Spanish speaking world.
Oh, neat.
And so it's people from all over the world are here in Medellin. And I got to speak about future of journalism and my usual song and dance.
Fun.
But and as you know on the show, he estudiado español desde dos meses.
Wow, 2 months.
And 2 months and con Pimsleur. I was going to say très bien.
It gets confusing, too many languages.
Very good. And so I'm picking up about once every 10 words, but it's kind of thrilling to pick up a few words now and make it kind of worthwhile. And so I got to keep going with my study. There's 150 days total, so I've got 90 days to go.
And there's no better way to learn than to be in the country and talking to people. Mm-hmm. And immersion is really the best way to learn.
It's so great. Today I went to the mall just to get out of here, and this guy stopped me, and I thought, he's panhandling or something. I had no idea. It turns out he was at the event last night. Oh, congratulations. Nice. Go to the event last night. He spoke hardly any English. I speak hardly any Spanish. And he was a radio executive. It was much fun to go back and forth. So, this is
neat.
It's thrilling when I can read a headline or a sign and get it. But this is a great conference. Hashtag Premio GGM. for the Gabriel Garcia Marquez Prize, so premios. And they give the awards tonight, and then I fly back on a 5 o'clock flight tomorrow.
What a fun assignment! I like that. And of course, Marquez is one of my favorite authors. I love In the Time of Cholera is and 100 Years of Solitude too. Just two of my favorite novels.
And importantly, he wasn't just a novelist; he was a journalist of major note, and that's why he started this foundation.
Good for him. Where was he a journalist? Was it Mexico?
In Colombia, and then I think in Venezuela, and then I think in Mexico.
So you're going to have to help me, because like many of us, I've been watching Narcos, which is all about the Medellin drug cartel. That's over, right? It's not...
Yes, it's well over, and it's actually an extremely exciting time to be here for a few reasons. One is that the government just announced some real huge steps in the negotiations with FARC and peace negotiations after decades and decades of war here, guerrilla war. And so it's a very exciting time that they're finally making progress on that. And the narco wars here in Medellin are well over, and the city has rebuilt itself phenomenally. They built a metro so that brought the poor people down into the city more. The irony of Medellin is the rich people are down in the valley and the poor people have good views in the mountaintop. And it's surrounded by mountains, and it's quite an amazing setting. And they've used arts and culture and events like this to really do an amazing, amazing job of making Medellin a tourist attraction and a safe city, and it's really come back. And you know, I sent a story from El País about this to a foundation I work with in New Jersey. You know, if you look at cities like Newark and Camden, Medellin is kind of a model. You know, right? Don't give up on the city. There's a chance. There's a chance to really rebuild it.
How exciting!
That's cool.
And how much is the internet a part of what's going on there? Are they?
Oh,
go ahead.
Hugely. And the media businesses, you know, are still trying to hold on to print, and there's the same exact debate that's going on, just a little bit later than where we are.
Right.
But of course, it's all mobile and mobile phones, and I love walking around the streets where they're selling minutes for 100 pesos, 150 pesos,
just to get online. Well, were you able to get online yesterday and see the Google announcement?
Not only that, but I was afraid that because I was in Colombia, I'd be restricted from buying. But no. I bought one, too.
Yay. Bought one what?
I got the P, the 6P. I got the 64. I mean,
that's what I got, too.
My Nexus 7.
No, 64 is a sweet spot.
Yeah.
Now that everybody streams most content, and I think – I bought a 128 gig iPhone, but that was because I was a little worried because of 4K video and the live photos that I might be using an extraordinary amount of data. In fact, I am, after I put everything that I want, like including all my music on here, still only 70 gigs. So 64, I think that's fine for any sensible.
Did you buy the warranty period, or are you holding a phone for such a brief period? I don't imagine.
Yeah, I never buy the warranty, although it seems like a pretty good deal. Well, actually, let's talk about what Google announced. I'm going to apologize in advance to Matthew Ingram, because I don't think you can buy any of this in Canada.
No, none of it.
You can buy it in Ireland, and I mean, but not in Canada, of all places.
No.
Crazy. So we covered it live. You can watch it on our Twit Live specials. It was Gina Trapani was with us. Russell Holly. Yeah, it was really a fun couple of hours to spend with those two talking about what Google had announced. And I thought... Google did a great job. It was fast-paced. It worked well. They brought a big number of people up on stage, and I think demonstrated, including a lot of women. There's a lot of diversity, but I think that it wasn't so much that is just to demonstrate that it's a team. Sundar Pichai was on the stage for a minute and then handed it off, and everybody else got to talk. And I thought that I liked that. It made me feel like Google is a company it's true of Apple, too. It's true of all tech companies, made up of a lot of people. And to see more of them, I think, is great. So Mike Elgin, our news director, was there, and he came home with swag.
Actually, Leo, if you could send me one of those bags, that would be great. I'd appreciate it.
Well, you guys can fight over it.
I at least can touch it. Right? I can touch it.
I'm just going to put it out in the middle and just let you guys fight over it.
I want it so badly.
So the swag bag is actually quite beautiful. It's from a company called Rickshaw. It's a tweed herringbone, but waterproof. It's got,
Sounds like you're doing a fashion show, Leo.
Yes. It's a lovely tweed. Fresh bags made daily in San Francisco with the new Google logo, I might point out. The new,
which is also killing me because all my swag is now out of date.
Oh, well, yeah. They do that so you'll buy new swag. And it's full of goodies. So what do we get here? And I'll open these in a little bit. The Chromecast audio. As we talk about them, I'll open them up. The new Chromecast itself. And then I was really, when I saw this box, I was going, there's a phone. Is there a phone in there? But no, sorry to say. This is the Huawei Watch.
That's still nice, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's a $400 or $500 watch. It's
absolutely
not a cheap watch.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was going to say, it's probably, you know,
what our ethics policy will allow in terms of keeping this, Mr. Elgin. But I've played with the Huawei Watch. We had a review unit as well. So let me just open up that because it really isn't a big part of the announcement. Although it's one of the prettiest watches. Although, as Russell, that's pretty.
That's
as Russell Holly pointed out. Everybody on the Google side on stage was wearing Moto 360s. Mm. Some old, some new. The Huawei.
Because they get their choices at Christmas, right?
Oh, is that it? Is that why? Maybe
They can like pick one phone and one watch or something like that.
Compare this. I'm also wearing. It's funny because this is the Huawei version of a Milanese Loop. Yeah. Compare it in size and styling to the Apple Watch. I like round. I have to say. Let me see if we can turn it on. I don't think there's a flat tire on this one. I think that's one of the things, but it's awfully thick. You know, I just have to say that's a little bit discouraging. It just,
but you know, I see these guys with these wildly expensive show off watches.
Yeah, and they're just thicker. Thick. Yeah. I guess I can't turn it on. The other thing that people have said they don't like about this is it's not wireless charging like the Moto. It has pogo pins, and you have to dock, you know, connect it. But OLED screen, which is really nice. I mean, one of the things I don't like about the Moto 360, I don't know if there's plastic on here or not. I guess not. I don't like about the Moto 360 is the LCD screen is not quite as nice as the OLED screen that the LG and others
have. That's interesting. Do the other watches have a Maker logo come up?
That's the first I've seen of that.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. But this is now the standard Android Wear boot.
Yes.
This takes a while, too, as I remember. I kind of like Android Wear. Now, having, you know, I got the new iPhone, and so I, you know, dug the Apple Watch out of retirement and put it on, and wearing it again reminds me that it's hard to use, and it isn't particularly more functional than Android Wear. You can place and receive calls with it, which is about the biggest difference. And one thing that Android Wear has is missing is the ambient watch mode. This isn't even a very good watch because it's off unless you specifically flick it up to save battery life. Most of the time, it just looks like that. It looks like a black chunk, which makes it a not very good watch. I think also Apple really didn't figure out the UI. I mean, there's two buttons, there's force touches, all these different fiddly bits. Android Wear is considerably simpler. This button doesn't really do anything. By the way, note where it is. It's on the kind of on the side.
I think it has to be because otherwise it'd dig into your skin because it's so big.
Yeah, maybe. We'll put it in English. Oh, now we have to charge it before we can go on. I think that's fairly attractive.
Yeah.
The only negative I've heard about this is the charging methodology.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a big deal.
Not really. We'll get a review of this. I think Jason Howell's been reviewing it for Before You Buy. He has one. So we'll get a review on that. But that is not even one of Google's announcements. They just, I think it was just a little spiff they gave the journal. What is the policy, Jeff? I mean, if you were working for a magazine,
then you wouldn't take it, no.
You shouldn't take it.
Anything.
Huh?
The policy everywhere I've ever worked is you can't accept anything beyond a cup of coffee.
Right. That's appropriate.
So what we used to do with review stuff, if they didn't want it back, let's say it was a game or something like that, then at the newspaper we would have a raffle or we'd donate it to charity or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's actually appropriate. Oh, it's gone into demo mode. So there's a demo mode, so that's kind of cool. So I think that's what we'll do with this. Mike may not be too happy, but I actually really like, let's see if it does that thing. Yeah, it does, the new tilted forward thing. Okay, Google.
I like the circle shape, I got to say.
Circle's so much better.
Yeah, I like Circle.
Yep. I think Android Wear has parity with the Apple Watch.
Can you pay with it?
Not with it. Of course, you can pay with your phone, but you can't pay with it. You're right. That's another feature of Apple Wear, whatever Apple calls it, Apple Watch, that's unique to Apple Watch. I don't do it that often. In fact, I'm a little disappointed by the whole pay process. I still, in some cases, still have to sign. Just like, wait a minute. This is so much more secure. You're validating my identity by signing?
Right, right.
What the hell? You probably don't have that problem in Canada, Matthew, but here in the States, in fact, this is the week that chip and sign becomes official.
Well, and we've had chip cards for, 2-3 years at least. It's one of the few things that we got before the U.S.
But, Matthew, do yours come with PIN numbers? Because our stupid cards don't,
no.
So they're not useful
they
in Europe.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, we're not chipping PIN here. So this all came about because Visa and MasterCard finally had it after the Target break-in and they finally said, you know what, you retailers, you're going to have to face your fair share of the financial cost of this stuff. So they decreed that starting Thursday, and they've given everybody a year to do it, that whoever has the worst security pays. And if the retailer doesn't put in a PIN terminal, then they'll be liable for fraud and losses due to fraud. So this is, of course, stimulated Apple Pay, Android Pay, Samsung Pay. Monday shipped to its version of Pay on its existing Samsung phones. But in the United States, I guess they didn't want to move too fast. Ooh, we don't want to scare away users. So they don't do pins. It's chip and sign.
That's pretty dumb.
That's really dumb. I let my kids sign. I'm like, go ahead.
You know, Lisa just does a thing. She doesn't do a signature. I said, Lisa, that's not your signature. She says, you don't have to sign. You can put an X.
No one checks it. Yeah. No one checks it.
You guys have the tap and pay cards? The ones where
I don't think you tap. The new terminals, you stick the card in far enough so that the chip goes in. And by the way, it is a slower process than a swipe. It takes a few seconds to read the chip. What's going on in there is the chip is actually generating a unique ID,
right,
which is then sent to the bank. The bank verifies based on who they think you are and the time that
credit cards, right?
Pardon me?
That's credit cards, right?
I don't know how ATM works. Those are
cuz our ATM cards or debit cards, a lot of them have tap and pay, so you don't have to swipe or insert.
No, I don't think we have tap or nothing.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless you're using Android Pay or Apple Pay.
We got something you don't.
You got lots of things. You got Ford. You got lots of things we don't have. Anyway, let's talk about something more interesting. Maybe not more interesting. More apropos. I'm sure Tuesday night this was covered heavily on All About Android, but new phones. Nexus 6P, a 5.7-inch, beautiful, from what I've seen, aluminum phone made by Huawei. This is the premium. That's what the P stands for, the premium Nexus. And it has a Snapdragon 810, and it has a 12-plus megapixel camera with laser focusing and all sorts of super-duper features, including, as far as I can tell, the largest pixel size on any flagship phone, 1.55 microns, bigger than Apple, and that should help in low light. Does not have optical image stabilization, which surprises me a little bit, but they tried to rationalize that away. Said, no, you don't need it. It's so good. Look how nice that looks, though. Fingerprint reader on the back, the dimple where you'd find it on.
The big hump that everybody thought it was going to have.
No, and it has a porthole, kind of. See that? But it's not too humpy.
Not too humpy.
It's only a little bit humpy.
I think the 5 is humpier. Yeah, it looks good. I think this is probably the nicest looking Nexus device, hands down, that they've ever put out. Or not Google.
That looks
but
big in the hand.
That the manufacturers
it does look big in the hand. Although they say very, very narrow bezels mean it's not a very big phone.
Mm-hmm.
And Samsung did the same thing with the Note 5. This is the Note 5 size, and the Note 5 does not feel that big. The Apple iPhone is bigger. In fact, Google took a little shot at that by showing an iPhone and how big the bezels are. iPhone has a smaller screen and a bigger form factor. Battery life is going to be the big question. Now, this thing has a big battery, 3,450 milliamp hours. And
How big is that versus the Nexus 6, do you know? The old one?
I would bet the Nexus 6 is 3,000 or less, but let me look up.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think
chat room will tell us. So a typical 3,000 is big. Like mm-hmm. The Note 5 has I think 3,000. Okay, somebody's saying the Nexus 6 is 3220, so it's bigger than that. It also, because of Marshmallow, and I talked to a number of people, including Russell Holly, who've been using Marshmallow, who say there is significantly better battery life. Google claimed 30% battery life from Marshmallow alone.
That's good.
So this could be a battery beast.
That would be wonderful.
That would be wonderful.
It would be wonderful. But, you know, the manufacturers generally don't put bigger batteries in. You know, they design these things to be as small, thin as possible. They put the battery in that they think will last a certain amount of time. They aren't usually generous, overly generous with batteries because they want to keep the phones thin and small. So it'll be really interesting to see if you can go more than a day. I mean, I know my Nexus 6... Well, I guess, what do I call it now? Regular? Standard? No letters?
The giant thing?
Yeah, the Nexus 6. I mean, it goes the whole day. It goes the whole day.
I did not experience that.
Really?
Yeah.
I never get through the day.
No, me neither. Really?
Mine does when I'm out of the country and it's searching for antennas all the time.
One reason why it's hard to... Yeah, I mean, dinner time is... And by the way, no other phone except the OnePlus One from last year goes past dinner time either.
True.
And the way they handle that is with fast charging. This I don't know if this is going to have fast charging. It's not going to have wireless charging, which is a little bit of a disappointment, although apparently that's because it's a metal case. It would be very difficult to do that. But it will have this giant battery, Type-C connector. I don't know if it's a USB 3.1 connector or 2.0, but it is the Type-C physically, as will the other phone, the 5X. I'm glad to hear that. The camera sounds comparable to Apple's. F2, 4K video recording, 240 frames per second slow-mo, 30 frame per second burst mode. That's something the Apple does, and it really, well, it's nice and it's not nice, because if you forget and you hold the button, all of a sudden you got a lot of images. But as Gina Trapani pointed out, it'll be very nice for Google's Auto Awesome.
You get
some of those nice animated GIFs. 515 pixels per inch on the 5.7-inch quad HD display. It's AMOLED. That's AMOLED, isn't it? The Nexus 6. I like AMOLED displays. Yeah.
Yep.
The updated 810, 3 gigs of RAM. I would like to see 4. Android Sensor Hub, which is something Motorola debuted in 2013 with its Moto X. Remember, it had a separate co-processor that was listening. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you kill the battery by having the main processor fired up.
So step down.
Apple does it now too. They call it their motion processor. So this is going to be eventually industry wide. The whole idea of it's kind of a slower processor that's just dedicated to, you know, listening for the cue words, the accelerometer, things like that.
All the background stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
The ambient display, it'll know when you pick up the phone, things like that. Fingerprint reading is a must. Wouldn't buy a phone that didn't have a fingerprint reader at this point. I really wouldn't. You don't know yet. You will.
Okay.
Once you go that way, it's just you don't ever want to stop. As long as it's effective and fast. Marshmallow looks good. I can't wait to do the, what is it, now to tap me now? Tip-tap me. What is it called?
You know, Leo, I was just going to say about fingerprints. I'm pretty sure, unless I'm mistaken, that if you have a PIN code to unlock your phone, the police cannot force you to unlock it.
That's
right. But if it's a fingerprint, they can.
Yeah, I don't know what it is in Canada, but that's true in the States. And the reason is it's something in your head is protected by the Fifth Amendment, but something physical... And this goes back to hair samples, fingerprints themselves. They can compel somebody who's been arrested, not even convicted, but arrested to give up a fingerprint. You can't refuse. Supreme Court has held that. So your fingerprint on a phone is considered not protected by the Fifth Amendment. So that's very important. It's not considered that you're self-incriminating if they just put your finger on there. Is that true in Canada as well?
That's a good question, actually. I'm pretty sure... We don't have as much protection
no.
for those sorts of things, I'm pretty sure they can look at whatever they want and take whatever they want out of your phone.
They're Mounties, so you trust them.
Oh, the Mounties.
We're very trusting.
You know, I was always, maybe because of Dudley Do-Right, but I always thought Mounties are like really true blue, straight arrow, kind of like Eagle Scouts. And then when I started going to Canada, I heard so many horror stories. I don't want to say this out loud. Sorry, if you're a Mountie, I love you. But apparently the RCMP is considered to be kind of rough.
Rough? You mean?
Tough.
Rough like how?
Like, they don't take no crap.
Well, you know, they are the best of the best. They're like the Marines, you know.
Okay. I like that. The best of the best. That's good.
Theoretically.
I can never go to Canada again.
They're going to pull you over.
Texas Aggie 93 in the chat room says, they're the Queen's Cowboys.
Mm. Ooh.
I don't know what that means. Order now and you will get the 6P in November. If you ordered really, really quickly, you might have been able to get it this...
1st October?
Huh?
Wasn't the first report that it was going to be October?
They say it'll ship in October.
Oh.
But maybe there was only a dozen of them. I don't know. Because I ordered it as soon as the store... You know, what we were doing the event. Gina and Russell and I are doing the event. And the chat room gives me a link. It's not even on the front page of the store. There's a deep link into the store. I go. I order it November 4th.
Wow.
So I don't know who got it in October.
But I'm like the 15th. What did Gina order? Did she?
Yeah, she ordered the 6P. Everybody ordered the 6P. That's the one you want. I don't even know why they make the 5X. But we'll get
other countries.
Other countries, I think. Maybe. One of the things I think Sundar Pichai announced, 1.4 billion monthly active Android devices. 1.4 billion. Most of those are $25 phones in developing nations, but still.
Does that count Chromecasts?
No. No, Android devices. And I think the Android TV devices can't be but a tiny fraction of that. It's phones. Yeah. It's amazing. If you purchase a new phone, you get a 90-day free subscription to Google Music.
Is that to the family? Or just individual?
Oh, I don't know. They did announce a family plan for $15. That
I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
Great deal. Yeah.
That because unlike all the other music stores, you couldn't share your password on Google Music because it was your Google account. So if I wanted to give my wife, you know, hey, you want to listen to my music? I mean, I couldn't because I'd have to give her my Google credentials. So they needed a family plan. Mm-hmm. I hope they implement it nicely. We'll see. We don't know yet. You also get a $50 credit to the Google Play Store, presumably to pay for all the apps you'll be giving up when you leave iPhone. I don't know.
And this is only available in the Google Play Store, right? The carriers aren't...
In the U.S. store only. They did say that internationally they were doing deals with carriers and other stores.
Ah.
But in the U.S., at least for now, you have to go to store.google.com. And, as you mentioned, Jeff, they announced a Nexus Protect extended warranty that is much like the Apple Care Plus. It's 2 years. The normal warranty is 1 year, but it does add accidental damage protection. It's $89 for the 6P. And if you drop it, they'll replace it. There's a $79 deductible, and you can have up to 2 incidents a year. I mean, in the life of the thing.
That's not bad.
It's very similar to Apple.
Yeah. Broken screen at Apple, $79.
Yeah.
As my son can attest.
It's really interesting. I mean, even during this event, it's really clear. This is all targeted at Apple. They showed the new Google Photos photo sharing, which looked really great. And the name of the album was Apple Picking.
poor choice of words.
Ostensibly Apple Tree, Apple Picking, but they kept saying Apple Picking, Apple Picking. I can't think that was an accident. It was just a happy coincidence. I would be very interested to get this phone. If all it needs for me to go back to Android is all day battery life. You get all day?
I get all day. Yeah. Unless I have a runaway app. I recently my mail the app that I use for my business email was suddenly just taking up, you know, 30% of my battery. Got rid of that, and I'm back to all day. I unplug it when I get up in the morning, let's say 8 o'clock. And then sometimes I'll go all day, and I won't plug it in until I go to bed. And it's and if I do that, it is down to, you know, getting the warning, 7% or something. But I can make it all day. So
I think my problem is Twitter. I don't know that, but
Well, you could tell. I mean, you can look at these.
It's the number one biggest resource hog. And after I mean, every time screen. I refresh.
Yeah.
And I find I'm using, because the 6 is larger, I find I'm using it a lot more than my iPad.
Right.
Yeah. Me too.
You know, my, of course you could eliminate apps, you know, take all that stuff off. You could turn off GPS. You could turn off all this stuff. And you could improve the battery life, but I really want to try it with everything that I want to use. I want it to be a full-featured phone and get through the day.
And you don't want to have to keep fiddling with it. Like, oh, I'm going to turn the Wi-Fi off now and then. Oh, I'm back home. I'm going to turn the Wi-Fi back on. I mean, I know you can use apps for that.
Marshmallow's going to be smarter about putting things to sleep, right? I mean, one of my biggest mistakes is I leave Waze on when I get to the garage and forget to turn it off.
Right.
That'll drain a battery so quickly.
Yeah, they really should have some fix for that. I don't know what it would be. I mean, Maps doesn't do that.
Yeah, I guess Waze is just pinging all the time, you know, pinging the network. And
Nexus 5X is the affordable, and the X apparently stands for Nexus, the X in Nexus. Wasn't there a rumor that they weren't going to do these anymore, these Nexus phones? What happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That's right, there was. It was going to be with silver.
They were just not going to do phones anymore. Yeah, that's right.
I'm glad they are.
Well, it's interesting because I think what they finally said is, "Oh, screw the other guys. We're just because this is in." You know, you could make the case that the 6 was a developer. The last year's six was a little expensive for a developer phone, but really was just aimed at developers and not really aimed at taking any segment of the market because it's so big and it wasn't that compelling of a phone. These phones are compelling. I feel like they compete right dead against the Samsungs and the HTCs, maybe better in every respect. So the 5X will be a little bit less processor. The 808, which is actually, I have 808 on a number of phones, is fine. 1080p display, not the quad HD. Same exact camera though. I think that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. No compromise on the camera.
Well, especially since it's coming from two different manufacturers.
Yeah. It's a Sony camera in there. And USB-C charging. Fingerprint sensor on the back. Google, I think, is saying that's a requirement now. I really feel like not for a $25 phone, but for the U.S. market, I think the fingerprint reader, especially...
Are they going to require the extra antennas for Google Fi?
Yes, it will be Google Fi compatible.
No. Will they require that for other manufacturers?
Oh, I don't know. That's an interesting question.
What color did you get, by the way, of the X, of the P?
Graphite.
So did I.
Black is black.
A man of taste. That turquoise 5X is a little weird.
Yeah, it looks like that mint Kickstarter phone. I can't remember the name of it.
Looks like some refrigerator Robin. You should have got rid of 30 years ago.
Yeah. It's refreshing. Now on tap.
What do you think about the back? The back placement of the fingerprint thing.
I like it. I think that's going to work. I'm convinced. So Samsung... Apple and OnePlus all put it on the home button, and I don't think that's good. I think that's overloading the function of the home button in a way that I don't want to do that. For instance, I'll give you an example. It's, by the way, this is the iPhone 6S Plus. It's so fast now that you can't turn on the phone. If you wanted to see what your notifications were or what time it is, you want to turn on the phone with the home button, it unlocks it instantly, so you can't do that. It's better to have it separate. Now, there is a phone, the new Sony's, when they come out, the Xperia's, that will have the fingerprint reader on the on-off switch. That sounds pretty sensible. But you do hold the phone. I mean, I don't think it's – they've always had that dimple. Motorola's always put that dimple on the back. And you do hold the phone that way. I think that's not going to be hard to get used to. We shall see.
So I interrupted you. The thing you really can't wait for is the
– Now on tap.
Now on tap. That's where you're in an app. The app has to be now aware. and you can get Now to help you out in some ways with the app.
And that's at any Marshmallow phone.
Yes.
Yes.
That's Marshmallow. That's Marshmallow.
That would be handy.
Yeah. Yeah. Double tap the power button to activate the camera like that. They're going to have in the X a 2,700 milliamp hour battery, which is probably comparable to the 3450, given that you only have a 1080p screen. 2 gigs of memory, not three. I think more memory makes a big difference. The Note 5, with exactly the same TouchWiz crapware as the S6 does, handles it much better. The S6 hesitates all the time. It only has 3 gigs of RAM. I think putting 4 is a good idea, but Google, maybe they know better. 16 gigabytes, by the way, the Nexus 5X has different memory storage configurations, 16 and 32. So the 16 starts at 379 compared with the 32 6P at 499. These are awfully close. I don't feel like one is a low-cost phone and one isn't.
No. Some people just like smaller phones.
Right. It could be just the size. Yeah, this is a 5.2.
That's what I was saying before. Before the show got started, I was saying that my wife prefers a smaller phone. She doesn't want the 6-inch phone.
Family.
Yep. Yep. So I think that's why they're still doing it. Is people still want that smaller phone and they want to capture that segment of the population that wants a smaller phone. But you're right, when you look at the price and the features of the phone, I mean, why you would go for the 6, right? If you're just looking for features and you don't care necessarily about a smaller phone.
It's not that big either. It's not as big as your 6. Right. It's 5.7 inches.
Yeah.
16 to 32 gig memory configurations. It comes in carbon, vanilla, I don't know, what do they call the white? Quartz, and minty fresh ice. They also announced, this is going to be interesting, new Chromecast. I don't think the new Chromecasts are particularly different. They did announce now that they'll have broader support for Chromecast. Still no Amazon streaming. That may never happen.
But Spotify support.
Spotify. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me open it up. A little unboxing here. This is a lemon yellow Chromecast. They did add Showtime, by the way, as one of the Chromecastiests. So they now Chromecast Showtime, which is good, as well as Netflix, of course, and Hulu and Pandora, HBO Go, YouTube, CBS, iHeartRadio, Google Play Music.
I think I get 3 of those.
I ordered 4. I ordered 4. No, I only ordered 2 of these. I actually ordered 4 of the other one. So here's what it...
No, I got 3 of those services.
Oh, 3 of those services. Yeah, it's... You know, so what they've done... in the old Chromecast had the HDMI port right in it, and so you would jam it in there. But if you didn't have room, they did have a little extender USB thing. And especially if you're sticking it behind an AV receiver, that was kind of handy.
Yeah, they always shipped it with a little extra dongle extender
you could
put in there. It makes sense. Someone did a cost-benefit analysis on this and said, you know what? If we just make this thing flexible from the get-go, we'll be all set.
They ship it now with a power adapter, which they didn't used to, but they always had the USB cable, so you still need the external power. And that's just really because the MHC HDMI that powers is so rarely found anywhere.
Yeah.
That they can't count on you getting power from the HDMI port. So better Wi-Fi. And in fact, beamforming Wi-Fi, which is interesting. The antennas will tune toward your Wi-Fi access point.
Hmm. Huh.
At least that's what they said.
Maybe that's why it's bigger.
Yeah, bigger antenna. 802.11ac.
Differently with the new Google router.
It probably has some on-hub features. They didn't mention that. In fact, they didn't mention the router at all. Still $35. Do you guys have trouble with Wi-Fi and Chromecast?
No.
I have.
You do. This is also 5 gigahertz. I don't know if it's dual band or just 5 gigahertz, but it will at least do 5 gigahertz, which is usually better if you have Wi-Fi. Just let me see
mine,
what it says.
Mine sometimes forgets the network in the middle of streaming.
That's terrible.
Or it has problems connecting to it, even though I'm using the correct password. I sometimes have to reboot the router. Right. So that could be my sort of janky network setup.
Yeah. Mine has problems with the, I've got a, in the makerspace actually, we've got a Chrome or a Comcast router for business. and for whatever reason, it won't connect to that router. So I have to have a second router that it, that's attached to the main router that it connects to. It's a known bug, but
weird.
Yeah.
The point being that everybody has crappy Wi-Fi. Don't blame yourself.
That's true.
Wi-Fi
that's true.
Has issues of some sort or other.
Yeah.
Do we know when the new Chromecast app is coming out?
I would say soon, because this is already arriving at people's houses, the new Chromecast. So I would say very soon. And up to now, the Chromecast app only did one thing. You used it to configure a Chromecast, and then you were done. You never used it again. Mm-hmm. Now it actually is a discovery tool. It shows all the different apps that you have, what you can watch
so
on
Apple's
those apps.
Advantage lasted about 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. I think I love Chromecast.
I do too.
Me too.
I do too.
It works great.
Sometimes people complain because they have to use their smartphone as the remote and they have to fire up.
I like doing that.
I prefer that. I find the interface on the smartphone. If I'm going to search for a movie on Netflix, which is easier, doing it with a remote control on your TV or on your phone?
Plus, it makes this so much cheaper.
$35.
Yeah. See, I've got, since I can't get Hulu and our Netflix is crap and a bunch of other stuff that I won't go into, I've got a lot of stuff that I stream and movies and content through Plex. And so Plex has Chromecast support built in. So I've got a Plex server. I just stream it through the Chromecast, like through my phone to the Chromecast. Works great.
Yeah, there's so many good uses for the Chromecast. And now, Chromecast audio.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were Sonos, I'd be worried.
I'm interested in that.
So right now, you can get Sonos. They just announced an updated Play 5 speaker with better audio. But most people, the way they buy Sonos is they buy the speaker. It uses the Wi-Fi to configure its own mesh network, usually for sharing music, so that the party mode is flawless on Sonos. It means that there's no echo, no latency. Everything's in the synced up, no matter how many Sonos speakers you have. But it's really, really pricey. There is also a Sonos Connect that's somewhat like this new Chromecast audio. You can use it to connect your existing speakers to your Sonos network, and I like that. But now Google is moving into this business with the Chromecast audio. This is an audio-only version of Chromecast. Similar form factor, a little smaller, and they pointed out it has grooves, like a little vinyl record.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah.
It is.
There is a button on it. That must be a pairing button. That's interesting. Comes with analog cable, but they did say, and I don't see where it is, that it also supports. Didn't they say it supports optical and RCA? Where? Maybe there's something in here.
Maybe there's an adapter.
Maybe there's a aftermarket adapter. I don't know. Still needs power. So, but the idea is now you can do audio into any speaker. So if you have a standalone powered speaker or a stereo system, you can use this to stream audio to it. And I guess a lot of people now have powered speakers. Computer speakers are powered speakers.
I was pretty close to getting a Sonos, or, you know, at least one or two, and that's going to be like $600.
Right.
Yeah. You know, whereas I could just get one of those or two of those or three of those.
Yeah. These are $35 also. Yeah. 2.4 and 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi. Also the adaptive antenna system. Wireless control from your home. High fidelity stream. We'll have to see what the fidelity is on these. That may not be good. I don't know. And I don't. They say, it says on the box, it says optical and RCA as well as mini jack, but I don't know how. How you do that?
It just has the eighth inch, so it's got to be some sort of adapter. But
it doesn't come in the box.
This won't sync, though. This won't sync your audio across your whole house.
They said it would. Coming soon.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't have
the
box.
You can do that in software, right?
Yeah, but you don't want to do that in software. So they say they're going to have a firmware update that will support that. Mm. That's the secret sauce for Sonos. People don't really understand the biggest thing. You could do exactly as you say. You could, you know, there's lots of ways to have speakers all play the same music in the house. But getting them synced is
at the same time very difficult.
Echo, and then it's really not pleasant. There's phasing and echo.
You can do it with radio. I've looked at this for the past since 2006. I started looking at Sonos, trying to figure out how they do this, and it is not easy. The easiest way to do it is to set radio, hook radios up to all the speakers that you want and broadcast your own radio station with your own music.
Because that's real time, yeah.
Yeah, you can do that, but then it's still, the reception's kind of crappy. It's not high fidelity. And I've got some little 2.4 gigahertz transceivers I'm playing with to see if I can get this to work. But if they can make this sync audio on these little things, they're going to sell.
Sonos is in trouble.
That would be huge.
Yeah, they're going to sell a crap ton of these little devices if they can sync music to different speakers in different parts of the house at the same time.
Do you guys think that lots of people have powered speakers? I mean, like, that's a common thing?
Well, it's certainly common. Most people I know have them.
All right. Plus, it has an advantage over Sonos. You can determine how good you want your speakers to be.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, I got four of these, but two of them are going to go on my, I have two stereo systems. They're going to go in the back, I'm hoping, via optical, although I don't know how. Maybe there's a USB adapter or something. But they're going to go in the back, and that will be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because and this is the big question mark, where's the music coming from? Is it coming from your phone, or is this like the video Chromecast where it makes its own connection?
Right, right.
Because if it's coming from the phone, that's not going to be good. But I would guess this is making its own connection, which means this could be very high quality because from the Wi-Fi, itself. From the,
yeah.
the once you do the A to D conversion, or if you're using an optical cable, you don't do any conversion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean the D to A. So this could be very high fidelity depending on what you're streaming from.
So the chat room says the 3mm out also has optical.
You need to buy a cable. I think that's right. I think that's what it is. And I guess there's you could also buy a RCA adapter. Oh, here we go. Thank you, Virgil. In the chat room, he's got a link to the Google page. Yeah, that makes sense because you can get optical 3.5mm optical cables. Here's compatible cables and plugs. That's the one it comes with, the analog cable. And then there's a RCA adapter, not included, but you could buy, and a Toslink adapter.
Hmm.
Yeah, I have one of these that's a 3.5mm Toslink. It's mini Toslink.
Hmm.
That would be that's the way to be, do it.
It's going to be cool when we get that in a couple of years.
Oh, Canada. Oh.
Now, is this, did this come out of the Chromecast team or did it come out of the Nexus Q team? That's what I want to know.
We may never know the answer to that question. Maybe it's old Qs. They took them apart.
Yeah, they took them apart, just took the essential components out. Who needs that big ball?
Yeah, I don't need new Chromecasts. I don't see a huge difference in the Chromecast video, but I bought a bunch of, like, four Chromecast audios because I feel like that is very exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm all in on Sonos. I don't want to count how many Sonos speakers I have because then I'll start thinking about how much I've spent. they really add up. But the way you do it and the way they get you is you do it one room at a time.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you spend $5,000. They're great.
I mean, they are great. And
I love my Sonos.
Support for just about every kind of streaming audio thing you can imagine.
And we'll say it again. As soon as they get Google Now on this stuff, that's when it's going to take off. I guess it sort of is because Google Now is in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So you could
That would be cool. Pull out your phone and say, okay, Google, play Rolling Stones in the living room. And it just starts playing
in
the living room.
Out of here.
That would be cool.
Right.
That couldn't be that hard.
No.
No, it wouldn't be hard at all.
No.
I say that not knowing anything about how that works.
But. It's magic.
I mean, how hard could it be?
Well, the logic is already there, right? I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, of course they
can. It's just adding that last little bit of logic in the living room so that it understands, oh, yeah, I know I'm connected to the living room.
I know what that means.
Audio, Chrome, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Chromecast audio. And then. Play there. So,
what do we think? Pretty good announcement for Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some good stuff.
And it's not over
very
yet.
Good stuff.
And wait, there's more.
But wait. In fact, the biggest story is yet to come, but we're going to take a break and talk about that. The one more thing. I feel bad for Google because there was absolutely nothing that we didn't already know, right?
Right, yeah. Was that on purpose?
No. If you think about the bang that Apple gets from the secrecy versus the kind of wet firecracker that the Google announcement was.
Well, Google has partners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Partners.
Yeah. And they don't have the, I think they don't have the DNA for like really keeping stuff secret.
No. They don't cut people off either.
Right. You're not going to get fired at Google for, well, maybe you would. Yeah. Maybe you would.
Apple will cut you off. You will, if,
oh, yeah.
If they know that you blabbed, you will never get anything from Apple ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't blab. That's not why I get nothing from Apple. Just want you to know. I don't do NDAs or any of that stuff just because I know I would blab because I have no, I don't remember anything. Did I tell them I wouldn't say that? I don't remember that. I did actually once, many years ago, break an NDA by accident. I felt terrible about it. It was only by a day, but I felt terrible about it. And that was the last time I signed an NDA because I just don't have the brain cells to remember what I know and don't know. It's like lying, you know? It's like, oh, I don't know that. Our show today brought to you by Blue Apron. Really glad to have Matthew Ingram here, Aaron Newcomb, Jeff Jarvis from Medellin, where he's making a little drug run for us. Little tip, don't swallow those balloons. Just kidding. Just kidding. Jeff the Mule Jarvis.
You can't go to Canada or Colombia now. Or can't go to either.
I can't go anywhere. And I can't go to an Apple event either. It's just, I'm joking. It's comedy. Our show today, by the way, Jeff wasn't sitting there, so don't tell him what I said. Our show today brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, yummy meals right in your home. You know, I think we all work pretty hard. We get to the end of the day. The last thing you want to do is go to the grocery store and pick up the ingredients to make a great meal. If you go to the grocery store, it's hot dogs, buns, and a pack of frozen French fries most of the time. But wouldn't it be nice to make a lovely meal for your loved one or ones? Blue Apron. When you get home, you got the Blue Apron box sitting right there. Fresh, delicious ingredients. This is Jason Howell making something so amazing with his Blue Apron. What's neat is all the ingredients are perfectly proportioned. There's no waste. So you see those spices? That's the packet. You use it up. You get, you know, just what you need and nothing more. The produce is fresh from local producers. The meat and fish are always fresh, never frozen. It's the kind of stuff you'd buy if you went out to buy it. And then you get this great recipe card that explains how to make it. And they're unusual recipes. That's what's fun about it. You're learning new techniques. In fact, they even have free videos on the website you can visit and learn a little more. I've gotten such great cooking ideas, found new ingredients, and my confidence level has increased thanks to Blue Apron for less than $10 a meal. By the way, they have a family plan, too, where they'll give you kid-friendly ingredients so the whole family can eat well and have fun learning to cook, man. That's the, if you could give one thing to your kids, it'd probably be a love for cooking and great food. Each balanced meal is 5 to 700 calories per serving. Very yummy. Look at that. Oh, man. Jason made that. Cooking takes about half an hour, although I'm a little slower, but that's fine. You know, you basically can move as fast or slow as you want because it's your kitchen now. Shipping is free, and the menus are always new. You won't get the same meal twice, which is nice. No repetition. Although, once you learn how to cook, you know, crispy Cajun catfish with dirty rice and spicy remoulade, you will know how to do it next time, and then you're ready. You feel confident. Oh, look at that. Thai chicken meatballs, crispy tofu and yu choy red curry with jasmine rice, Thai basil, and cashews. The Asian stuff is great. The flavors just perfuse the house. Your mouth is watering. People come in, and they're so impressed. You made that? Yes, I did. Check out this week's menu. Get your first two meals free, too, by going to blueapron.com/twit. blueapron.com/twit. Your first two meals are free. You are going to get marshmallow, by the way, on that Nexus 6. In fact, all the all the late model Nexuses will get it next week.
Yep. And I'm hoping that they fix the Android Pay bug. It's not a bug.
What's the bug?
It's not a bug. I shouldn't say that. There's an issue with Android Pay. If you rooted your phone, then it's considered a security risk. And when they go through and do all their checks, they say, nope, sorry. You can't use a
Samsung does that too. If you have rooted a Samsung device, you can't use Knox. Mm-hmm. But that makes sense because you've now made it insecure.
You made it insecure, but you know what? I'm willing to take that risk. I feel like I should be able to.
You know
make
what?
That
They're
decision.
Never going to do that. You're not. That's not a bug. They're not going to fix that.
Man, we'll see.
I promise.
There'll be a workaround. They may not fix it, but I'll run it. because they did that with Google Wallet too, when I got around it. So
they also do it with Netflix and stuff, so that you can't steal movies. Yeah. I'd be surprised. It's not Google. It's the credit card companies.
Right. And like I said, it's not a bug. It's a feature.
It's a feature.
It's a security feature.
Yeah.
So, but it just pains me because I actually do love to use the tap and pay on my phone, and I can't right now.
But as soon as you root your phone, you have broken the security model, and they can't trust it anymore.
Especially because now with Android Pay, it runs all the time as long as your phone is unlocked.
Oh, interesting.
Which is different than Google Wallet, which only – so when I used to go up to McDonald's, let's say, and scan on the little thing, I would put my PIN in then.
Oh.
So Google Wallet would come to the forefront of the phone, and I would put my PIN in. Now it's tied to the security of your phone. So it's always – whenever your phone is unlocked, it's always available. And so the security model has changed. I don't know. I kind of wish there was at least an option to go back to that Google Wallet model and be able to use it on my rooted phone. But we'll see.
I would be shocked if they did anything sanctioned around to make that work. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine. So let's talk about the Pixel C again.
Yee.
This one rumored, but the rumor broke just before, you know, the day before the event. So we didn't have time to really talk about it. You sound excited, Jeff.
Well, you know me. I'll go nuts for any of this stuff. and I'm speaking to you right now, of course, from my Chromebook Pixel. So a Pixel C, it just has a Pavlovian response from me.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to feel. I mean, the problem is it's a 10-inch tablet. I hate tablets that big, unless it really is basically just a laptop, in which case, is that going to be a better laptop than the one I'm on? It'll be smaller. Is Android really ready to be my primary machine? I'm not too sure.
Now,
I don't think so.
We should point out 10 inches is this is iPad size. It's not it's not massive.
I like the 10 inch.
Well, and I really am impressed by the keyboard. And the magnetic mechanism was very impressive. In fact, I had to think that Microsoft, because these, you know, these are just basically like the Surface. You know, they were the first to kind of do these. Maybe now, actually, you know what? Lenovo with the Yoga. And a few other companies were the first to do these convertibles. But this magnetic latching system where the keyboard is the cover, and then as you flip it around, it catches with the magnet and becomes a kickstand keyboard combo is brilliant. It is the best way of doing this I've ever seen. On the Surface, you've got, you know, pogo pins, and this is just brilliant.
What if you want to just use it as a tablet, but you have the keyboard with you? Does that become extra baggage?
Well, the keyboard is extra, so you don't have to buy the keyboard.
No. What I'm asking is going to be different. So you walk around with the two things, but you want to watch a movie now.
Yeah,
you don't need the
keyboard. The keyboard is covered. I presume you could just take it off or flip it around.
But it's flipping around.
Right. Yeah, you don't want your keys on the table, right? It's a new processor, the NVIDIA Tegra X1. These are the K1 was in the Shield. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing processor.
K1. Very good. Still really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the X1,
by the way.
Quad core.
7 millimeters.
How much?
7 millimeters, it says. That's pretty for a 10-inch tablet.
Oh, thick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very thin.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Very thin. It starts at $499. The keyboard's $149. So now we're saying it's cost about the same as a laptop. Screen. Right. So Mike Elgin played with it on the demo floor. He said the keyboard is almost identical to your Chromebook Pixel keyboard, which is, in other words, you love that, right, Jeff? It's a good keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
So that means it's better than the Surface-type keyboard, and it got to be a lot better than that crap Apple keyboard they're selling for the iPad Pro. That thing really doesn't
look good. I'll get one of these, but in terms of how I use it. I'll say this. You know, here in Medellin, I'm hauling around my Chromebook Pixel. Today, because I'm doing the show, I went out to see Medellin, the city. I'm carrying my briefcase. I got the heavy laptop in it. So something lighter would be wonderful. But again, I don't know if it's going to be robust enough to do the show. It could do Skype.
Yeah. Finally, you'd be able to do Skype.
I actually wish I just got a new iPad Air, the 10-inch. And if I hadn't just got one, I would be thinking about getting this.
Yeah. It's very...
Where's the camera? On the long end or the short end?
Let me see if I can tell.
Because as just a tablet,
on the long
you put
end.
It on the short end.
But front-facing camera. I
mean, there it is.
It's on the long end.
Yeah, it's exactly where you would expect it on the laptop.
Yes.
The top center.
Yes.
It is Android, I think it's interesting that they chose to do this as an Android device.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why it's not a Chrome OS device.
Well,
it's a tablet.
It is a tablet. And I think I said this before, last time I was here, the time before, I don't know. I get them all confused now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I ran Android as a desktop. You know, I plugged it into my big monitor. I had the keyboard set up and everything. And I ran it. I had no problem with it as a daily driver.
Really?
I totally could have done it as a daily driver. And there was a lot of things that I liked better. Maybe because I was used to using my phone. I don't know. But I really enjoyed it. I had no problem at all using it as a regular device, as a laptop-type device, or in this case,
a
desktop.
You got a point. Because the other thing is that I carry my Chromebook Pixel and my Nexus 7 and my Nexus 6.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
If I carried that, yes, it's bigger than a tablet that I want, but it's on airplanes and such, it would be damn nice. Battery life is going to be a question, I think, because of that the screen that big.
They didn't really say what the battery life would be, but this should have a 10-hour battery.
I would think so.
I actually think you could do without your laptop altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yeah. This could take the place of your laptop and your tablet.
So hard for us to think of Android as a desktop operating system, but I can't think of why it isn't.
It works great.
All the apps, there's a file system. Yep. There's
yeah.
I mean, it actually is probably more of an operating system than a Chromebook, which doesn't have a file system, really.
Yep, I think so.
It's not quite as smooth as, you know, docs. On the Chromebook, it's pretty damned easy to store your docs and that kind of stuff and find them. On phones, it's impossible.
Well, actually, I guess you could run Chrome on your Pixel C, and you'd be a Chromebook.
Yeah.
If you think about it, right?
Yeah, just access your docs.
Just don't ever
leave
Chrome and you'll feel quite at home.
Yeah.
Look at this magnet. This is so awesome. This thing must be some rare earth neodymium. He's swinging the thing around. It's holding the tablet via the magnet. And it really seems like it charges
the keyboard.
That's another cool thing, but the ducted charging. There's no pogo pins. It charges the keyboard from the tablet via basically wireless charging.
Yeah. Wow.
And, of course, these keyboards they don't use much power. But that means your keyboard would never be dead. You just keep the tablet charged. That's your only responsibility, really.
What kind of battery life does it get?
I don't think they said. Did they say? Chat room, did they say? It's not a okay. So somebody's saying, "Well, how do you know how the I don't know how the iPad keyboard is, but I don't like it that it's fabric covered."
Yes, yeah.
I think right there that's a problem. But you're right. I haven't tried it yet. I have tried the key mechanisms. Those keys are on the MacBook, and it's a very poor experience on the MacBook. I love the MacBook. The hardest thing about getting used to the MacBook is getting used to the short travel keys. They're just very hard to type accurately on. And according to Mike, who tried this keyboard, this is as good as the. In fact, it seems to be very similar to, except for some slight changes in pitch, the Chromebook Pixels keyboard, which is a very good keyboard.
But it makes you wonder. You know, we were talking about Android versus Chrome OS. I mean, it kind of brings up the question: why do they have two things? Like, why? If Android's robust enough
to run a
workplace tablet,
yeah,
why do you need a whole separate OS for the Chromebook?
Is Chrome OS going to be the education OS? What's going on?
I think Apple just said they're not going to combine the two OSs either.
Right.
I think that Google says that very soon they'll have more Chromebooks in schools than all other devices combined. Some people say this is the death of the Chromebook. I just don't believe that.
I think the
Chromebook has its role.
Yeah.
And I think it might even actually grow in a business sense. And it is more limited, easier to maintain for IT. It is easier to find files and things. It just works better as an operating system. Could you imagine having designed two versions of the operating system from the get-go? Yeah, but that's where we are with both iOS and Android.
I don't know. I think I never have understood why they do the Chromebooks. I mean, I don't understand why they do Chrome OS.
I got in this debate with Sundar Pichai himself when he was running Chrome OS.
Yeah.
So who wants this?
Well, he has to defend it then, right? But now maybe he's
come
around. I've come around on the Chromebook. Like Jeff, I use the Pixel, and I really feel like this is a full computer system. There's nothing.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
It's the best thing going. I would never go back. It's so lovely. This is the cloud, folks.
Yeah.
You know, get used to it. This is the world we're in, and I don't need all that cruff and crap locally.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. My dad has one, and he's never called me once for tech support.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Which, it's, you know, secure. My mom, yeah, the Windows and everything, they call me all the time.
Yeah.
But for the Chromebook,
yep.
never a call. After I got it set up for him, he's fine.
Mike, they were handing them out at where my mom lives, retirement.
Yeah,
facility. Why not? They were basically handing them out and getting people to use them.
And they're great in schools. Kids love
them. Are you guys calling me a retiree?
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff, you're the hardest working man in show business.
Yeah.
Retired. Hell, 20-year-old would have a hard time Grandpa keeping your schedule.
by the way, the I found a few resources on the Pixel C that say 10-hour battery life.
I'm sure that's it.
Estimated. And Mashable has said twice in their review, it has great battery life, whatever that means.
Well, that's Google's words.
You could also recharge it from a portable battery pack, unlike
that's
a
right.
laptop.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
That's right.
I have tried. Good point.
Yep.
Good point.
I have tried to use
charging things on my – because now that I have a C on the Chromebook Pixel.
Does it work?
I tried to use a big battery. No, it doesn't charge. I don't know if it maintains it or not, but it does not charge.
All right. Compare – this is the Huawei compared to the – whoops, it's setting off the Apple Watch. Can you – where is that? There it is. I think the Huawei is actually pretty as the Apple
it
Watch.
It is. It is. For as thick as it is, it's still pretty.
And look how it's always on. Yep. That's not the ambient mode. It goes a little bit darker. This color goes off, but it's basically – that's the screen. Yeah.
It's nice.
How much are they?
A little heavy. I think it's, I want to say $499 or $399.
I thought it was
$399. All right.
You could be, you would.
The thing is, I don't see a reason right now to replace my Moto 360.
No, and I think the 360 is good too. But this is a $750 Apple Watch compared to a $400.
It's not really that much thicker.
I guess really the determination is which platform you're using. I wouldn't use an Android Wear watch on an Apple, and I wouldn't use you can't use an iPhone or an Apple
Has
watch.
Has anyone tried an Android Wear watch that you know about an Apple? Now that it can
yeah, I think Megan did. And, you know, it works. Some notifications. It's just not as full featured. It just makes sense to get the watch that goes with the operating system you're using,
of course.
Frankly.
The SteelLink band is $449.
Oh, it doesn't come. Oh, this is the whole thing is $449.
Right, right.
Oh,
then you can get a leather one for $349.
Okay, that ain't bad. I like the LED screen. Are you having a party in there? What's going on in there?
Sorry, they're working. I'm in the room where they're doing all the social media.
Oh, that's what it is. It's social media. So Mike Elgin made an interesting observation. I think of good insight on the Pixel C. This tablet, they pointed out it has an array mic, effectively has an array mic on the side. Multiple microphones. I can't remember how many they said, but quite a few. Those are typically used, sound pressure microphones, that kind of thing, in an environment that where you want to pick up what's going on in the room. Mike said, there it is, that's the array mic. Mike said, this could be the echo killer.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to your Pixel C from across the room.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting idea. Mike and I, along with a lot of people in kind of tech enthusiasts, love the Amazon Echo. And I would be very interested in the idea of empowering your home to listen to you and respond is pretty cool.
Google Now is already so useful. Right.
It is. It's so much more useful than any other.
Because it knows so much about you.
Yes.
Like it knows your calendar, it knows your email, it knows what photos you took. I mean, imagine that, except voice controlled.
Love it. I love the idea. So we were talking about Surface earlier on Windows Weekly. Richard Campbell, one of our guests, said, you know, a tablet really is a coffee table device. It doesn't belong to any one person. It's something you leave on the coffee table in front of the TV. That would be a perfect place for a listening device to sit. So I'll be very interested. The other thing that's different about the Android ecosystem and the Chrome ecosystem is much more vibrant. There are how many? More than a million apps. There are not a million Chrome extensions.
Right.
Apps can do so much more in Android. Really, this makes sense, frankly, to be. I would prefer to have an Android
device. When can I order it?
They said it's not available yet, even for pre-order.
I know.
I'm guessing Christmas. We'll put this under your tree. All right. Now we have covered everything Google.
Everything?
Everything Google announced yesterday.
Yeah.
Everything. We're going to take a break and talk more. Is Android a monopoly? Apparently Google's under antitrust scrutiny. This just frosts my knickers. You try to do something good.
Yep.
You try to do something good for the world, like make an operating system open source. It's hugely successful, and they say, now you got a monopoly.
Ridiculous.
Meanwhile, there's Apple, no way about that. With its completely closed operating system that only it can use, right. And only it can sell, and it controls completely tightly. Oh, they're not a monopoly.
There is no way that Android meets any kind of reasonable definition of a monopoly.
It's the opposite of a monopoly.
There's no pricing power. There's no, anti-competitive practices. It's farcical.
It's the opposite. But however, I will try to argue the point that it is a monopoly, because that's my job. But we'll do that in just a little bit. I want to talk about my little bits.
Little bits are great.
They're not that little. Yes, little bits are great. And you're a maker, you know.
Yep.
Little Bits, was this a Kickstarter when it started? I can't remember how Little Bits got started, but
I think it was.
They've gotten better and better. I think it was, too, because I think I got the Kickstarter kit way back when. They're electronics building blocks. They snap together with magnets, so there's no soldering. But in every other respect, it's just like an electronics project. Mm-hmm. Resistors, capacitors, little units that do different things, motors, switches. There's a little potentiometer. They call it the slide dimmer, the i5 slide dimmer. And you snap these things together. You can't do it wrong because the magnets will repel if you try to do it the wrong way, which is pretty darn awesome. A great toy for parents to build things with their kids. And this, because of the way this is set up, they could be pretty little. It doesn't have to be, a 12-year-old. You could do this with an 8-year-old. And have so much fun. Actually, I'll confess, I sometimes do this all by myself in the privacy of my own home. Modules range from very simple, like powers and sensors and LEDs, to wireless, programmable. Yes, you can, you can do programs with it. You could build a robot with it. The Little Bits kits come with everything you need to do a variety of projects. This is the project manual. This is the Little Bits space kit. So there are 1 million combinations, 10 activities created with the NASA Goddard Flight Center. So if you want to become a space scientist and teach your kids to become a space scientist, this is so cool. They have the base kits, the deluxe kits. This is the space kit, the Arduino coding kit if you want to really get hardcore, serious program. Arduino is sometimes hard for people to get into. Mm-hmm. From scratch,
yes.
Get the Little Bits kit. You got everything you need and a really great walkthrough and a step-by-step. For the Tinkerer, the Deluxe kit has 18 modules that snap together to make billions of different circuits. And again, no wiring, no soldering. What would take days to make with real regular, off-the-shelf components, you could do in seconds. Are you a musician? You have a budding musician in the family? How about the Synth kit? You can build a modular analog synthesizer. You get oscillators, filters, envelopes, keyboards, a microsequencer, speakers, everything. The Arduino coder kit lets you manipulate what's on the screen using Little Bits inputs. And look at the, let's see, these are some circuits we could build. Control modules from across the room, electromagnetic energy. What is energy? This is a STEM curriculum,
yes.
In a toy, which is fabulous. Wave generator. Energy meter. Make a spectrum. Oh, that's cool. This is fun.
It is fun. And it's nice that it's all color-coded.
Yeah. You can't go wrong. I mean, yep. It's really pretty straightforward. The truth is, that's not for the kids. That's for the grown-ups. The grown-ups need a little help. You don't want to look like, oh, I don't know what's going on. I've done these kits, and really, you don't want to be the one going, I don't know, Michael. Let me figure out how this works. You want to look like you know what you're doing, and you will. Satellite dish, data communications. Wow, so cool. So here's the deal. $20 off your first kit. Go to littlebits.com. Hi, friends of This Week in Google. littlebits.com/twig. That also includes free shipping in the U.S. $20 off. Just use the offer code TWIG at checkout. And if you make something, would you Instagram me? Just to go at Mr. underscore Laporte, at Mr. underscore Laporte. And I will, I'd love to show some of the things you've built with your new little bits. You and your kids or your friends or your parents. Littlebits.com/twig. I just love our sponsors.
Oh, I'm so glad they're a sponsor.
Isn't that great?
That's a great sponsor. That's a great product. Everybody should go check that out. Especially, you know, if you have kids and you want to teach them electronics at an early age, like you say, you can't go wrong.
No. And not every kid wants to become a maker. You know, not every kid wants to do the kinds of crazy stuff you do.
Yep.
But I really think every kid should have at least experience of how stuff fits together.
Right.
So they can understand it. What we don't want is kids to be consumers. We want kids to understand the, you know, don't just buy a tablet. Understand how a tablet works. Mm-hmm. You know? And so even if the kid isn't going to be, you know, getting deep into it, not every kid wants to be a maker. They'll at least have that experience and the joy of putting something together. And when the light comes on or the fan spins, it's so great.
Yep.
Chromecast coming to Spotify, Showtime, Sling TV. I have NBA. I've been able to, with my Spotify on Android, send it to my Sonos, weirdly enough. And I think I have, I don't know what the new Spotify capabilities are, but anyway, they said something.
So,
Android is in use by 1.4 billion people. Clearly, it's a monopoly.
Sigh.
According to Bloomberg. Now, I should also point out that in the past we've seen maybe overstatements about what the U.S. government is investigating and whether it's a criminal investigation or even a serious investigation. But the Federal Trade Commission apparently has reached, according to Bloomberg, has reached an agreement with the Justice Department to lead an investigation on Google's Android business, according to people familiar, two people familiar with the matter. Did Google stifle competitors' access to Android? Now, on the face of it, this would seem absurd, since you can go and download from GitHub the entire Android code set, except for the Google bits, and put it on a phone, and you don't even have to ask Google, right? You don't even have to contact Google. Mm-hmm. You just make an AOSP handset, and you sell it for $25. You can use it on a lot of devices have Android on them because it's open source and free. So really, that can't be the question. The question must be, is Google using its market clout to force people to put the Google services on Android?
Yeah.
So, I want Android without Google.
It's a bundling argument. So it's because that's what worked with Microsoft. So the argument is they control, to some extent, the Android platform. And therefore, they can push their Google apps and services on people and effectively give themselves a head start compared to other services.
Yeah, and that works so well with Microsoft. By the time the government had finished its multi-year investigation and prosecution, hundreds and hundreds of hours of boring depositions, millions of dollars down the tubes. What did they achieve?
I could name a million things that I do want the government to protect me from, like bad hotel Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Like bad airline
behavior.
Like, name it. There's tons of things. This is not consumer protection in any possible universe. Who the hell complained except a competitor of Google?
It must be, right?
Yeah, it's absurd.
It must be Samsung or Apple or somebody said, EU is doing the same thing. Fairsearch.org.
Must be
a nonprofit, right? Because it's got the .org.
Well, yeah.
They said.
Pretty sure it's funded by Microsoft.
Pretty sure it is. Fair Search. You know, it's really sad that if you can't compete, you just try to win by suing or encouraging antitrust action against your competitors. That's just sad. Make a better product. By the way, if you
Nokia,
go to...
I love this, right? The first company listed is Nokia and Microsoft. When did that happen?
Who owns Nokia? Who owns Expedia? Who started it?
TripAdvisor, Twenga, Foundum, who's been going after Google,
yeah.
Oracle, oh, yes, we know how upstanding they are. Allegro, who the heck is that? Buscapé, who's that? Ad Marketplace, I'm sure.
Threw in a couple of bucks. Who threw in the big bucks is the question.
Oh, the last one listed, Microsoft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better.
So here's what fairsearch.org says. Google has used a range of anti-competitive tactics, carrying on a troubling pattern of conduct that has made it more difficult and expensive for fresh, innovative companies like Microsoft. I added the like Microsoft to reach the market.
Well, Google's playbook is simple, it says. First you do open, and then you dominate, and then you close.
Well, that's, yeah. So, okay, you can make that argument. Like Microsoft, I understand, yeah.
But has it happened? Just because it could happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. It doesn't mean you stop.
Well, that's what they're investigating. Has it happened?
That's ridiculous.
Google Android accounts for 59% of the smartphone market in the second quarter, compared to Apple's 38%, and Microsoft's 2.35%. But success in the marketplace doesn't mean you're a monopoly, and it's not even monopoly level.
Right, exactly. That would be my point. Oh, go ahead.
In the U.S., the monopoly, it's not illegal to have a monopoly.
Right.
A lot of people are under the misapprehension that it's illegal to have a monopoly. It's not. It's illegal to gain a monopoly through anti-competitive practices, and it's illegal to use your monopoly in anti-competitive ways. But so far, at least, the courts have only ruled against monopolies if they impact consumers negatively.
Right.
So if, for example, if prices rise or,
there has to be a damage. Controls.
Right. So where is the damage? The damage is you get a lot of great apps for free. So it's hard to prove that anybody's being, hard done by.
Well, and as Microsoft knew when it was being attacked by the Department of Justice, you prop up the competitors, Apple in that case, and Apple had a few percentage points of market share, but Microsoft said, no, there's competition. See, we got Apple. Apple is 38% of the market, and one could absolutely argue is dominant and forces all sorts of concessions from other industries, and this is the key, by the way, in antitrust regulation, uses its market dominance to enter new markets and dominate those markets. That's the thing that is illegal. And what is Apple doing? I mean, what is Apple Music all about? Apple's trying to become big in cloud services.
And Apple is far worse about compelling you to use its products, to either make it impossible in some cases, or at least very hard to use things that are not part of that ecosystem. Google is much more open when it comes to that stuff. That's half of the reason I moved from iPhone to Android in the first place.
In fact, Google allows Apple to put an application on the Google Play Store called Move to iOS. Apple didn't allow Google to put a Move to Android app on its store.
Right.
One presumes that the FTC will look at this and go, yeah, no. I'm really trying. It's hard for me to play devil's advocate on this one let's see what the case could be. So Google gives away Android, but really no consumer wants plain Android. They want Google Store, Google Maps, Hangouts. They want
That's not the argument. The argument will be Google gives away Android so it can force these applications on you.
Right.
And so show me the consumers who feel they're forced. They're all going to be from a place called Redmond, Washington.
They want everybody who buys an Android. You'd be furious if you bought an Android phone and it didn't have the Play Store on it.
That's precisely why I will not buy a Fire.
Fire. Yeah.
But witness, Google didn't force them to take it.
No.
Amazon, the competitor, was perfectly free to take this operating system, saved a fortune, gets the updates, has the value.
That's a great example. If I were in court, I would use that as an example of how Google has been much more lenient.
Just try doing that to Apple. Just try doing that to Apple. Well, I mean, I guess you have WebKit, but that doesn't count.
Remember how pissed off people were, especially the Wall Street Journal, when the FTC decided not to go after Google on search rankings? They voted 5-0. Not to go after
because the FTC protects consumers, and there was no violation of consumer privileges.
Consumer harm is the number one.
And the memo that was accidentally given out was from a different division of the FTC right. that doesn't do that. But at the end, the commissioners, all including the Republicans, said, nope.
It's funny because according to this article, Google lobbied the FTC to mount a more spirited defense of its decision to drop the case. Can you guys just
make a bit more noise?
Say, no, really, we didn't think there was a case. Really, there wasn't. They said that Google's competitors were using those leaked documents to, quote, sow confusion and undermine the FCC's conclusions. I think that's a reasonable assertion, actually. Gary Reback. Where do we know that name from? A lawyer with the Car Ferrell said the FTC comes to this with a lot of baggage. Reback, what was his role in the DOJ case? He defended Microsoft, right?
Yeah.
I think I remember him. When we say we're concerned, it's not only because they didn't do a good investigation, talking about the FTC the first time around, the fact they didn't protect the confidentiality of people who complained. But also, they were taking directions from, they seem to be taking directions from Google. Gary Reback. Hired gun. Have Reback, will challenge. all right. I don't know. There's nothing more to say about that. Preach into the choir here. 1.4 billion users is pretty amazing. By the way, interesting CoStat. 1.4 billion people using Android, 1 billion people using Google Play, which means that 400 million of those Android users are not using Google services.
And thereby not being forced in any way to do
anything. They're not being forced. They're on the open version of Android. They paid nothing for the operating system.
There's your proof point right there.
400. There's got to be a reason that Google used that stat. 400 million people. Not using Google services. They get it for free. That's impressive. 900 million people signed up to use Gmail. That's impressive.
These numbers are getting so huge.
It's
just crazy to think what that percentage of the population of all the people in the world are using Android. I mean, it's just crazy. And then to think of the billions of people that sign up every month. So what's happening to all of the – this is where I get confused is in the numbers. What was it, a billion people a month?
I don't know.
Or signing up or something. It's just these numbers get so big it's hard to wrap your mind around. Yeah. Where are all these phones going or all these devices going if there's only 1.4 million active users? Or one? Excuse me. See, I did it again. 1.4 billion active users.
All right. We got to run because Jeff has to run. But we're going to get to our end of the back of the book bit in just a bit. But one more little – public service announcement. Facebook is not going to charge you to keep your stuff private. You do not need to put a copyright notice on your Facebook timeline.
Please, God, stop doing that.
And if you do, you just look foolish because it's...
You're an effing idiot, and you don't deserve Facebook.
Somebody said that policy posting was actually very useful because it showed you who you should unfollow.
My college roommate posted it, and I felt I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to say, "Oh, dude."
Humiliate them.
I didn't want to. Facebook is not going to make you pay $6 to keep your status private. This comes up like every year.
Yeah.
And it's a testament to the viral nature of the Facebook news feed. Facebook said. It's trying to beat this. Last January, they said they were tweaking the newsfeed algorithm to crack down on these stories. I guess it's kind of, it looks too self-serving if they actually stop that story. Right. So maybe they're stopping other stories. I know you have to go, Jeff. Do you want to go now? Or?
Yeah, I'll do my number first, then I'll go.
Okay, so I'm going to do an ad if you have time. Or should
That's
I give you?
Idea.
Do the don't You do don't the mind? Ad. It's an ad that you're going to be interested in because I know you're not getting much sleep this week. So you need a Casper mattress, my friend. When
can you ship one down to Medellin?
I should. I know I feel better when I sleep on a Casper. It's beautiful. Obsessively engineered to give you support and comfort. Made in the USA. sold direct to you, which means you cut the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms. There's no markup. It's just, it's a great price for a great mattress. And I know when I say that, people say, but I want to try before I buy. How can I do that? Just get it. You have 100 days to return it, and it will cost you nothing. Shipping is free. If you decide you don't want it, the return is painless. They will refund you every penny. You'll pay nothing. But 100 days, that's the best way to try a mattress. Look at that, too. It comes in this great, convenient box. It's very, that was a queen-size mattress. Came in a box the size of a small, I don't know what. Small. It's what I sent to my son. He's the three-floor walk-up in college. It was perfect for him. You will love your Casper mattress. They're cool in the summer. They keep you warm in the winter. $500 for a twin. That's an amazing price for a premium mattress. And no springs. I'm sick of the springs. Springs give you lumps. Springs poke through. Springs squeak. Sometimes springs squeak a lot. Don't have springs. Have a Casper mattress instead. Go to casper.com/twig and use the promo code twig to save $50 off your brand new mattress. I'm hearing from a lot of people now who are getting their Caspers and loving it. But the nice thing is, somebody sent me a tweet this morning and said, I'm getting the Casper. I hope I like it. The nice thing is, if you don't, no harm, no foul. They'll come, they'll pick it up, they'll take it away, refund you every penny. Casper.com/twig. Jeff Jarvis is in Medellin. I just like saying that. He's in Colombia.
That is cool.
Tonight, the awards ceremony for the Marquez Awards. And you're flying back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
United and Copa Airlines willing.
Yeah. Well, we wish you luck. And will you be home next week, or do you have to travel some more?
I'm home next week.
Good.
I've got one bad trip coming up, which is Newark, Lagos, Johannesburg, Miami, Newark.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Well, give us a number.
Okay, so a number is so it's a big deal for big week for media deals. Axel Springer, the German publisher who's been warring against Google but is very, very, very smart, bought most of Business Insider.
Yeah,
they just bought a big chunk of Thrillist. Meanwhile, there was another one I forget, but then Liz Herron from Facebook went to Huffington Post as basically the chief editor.
Oh yeah, you were saying this is great. She was the digital. Mm-hmm.
She was kind of the media person at Facebook.
She was head of media partnerships.
Yeah,
I mean,
she came in right after paper, but she did the Facebook news stuff, right?
She did a lot of stuff and really helped out news companies. Really well loved person, and she's very, very smart. So that's great. And
she's not a journalist though. She's a
She is Washington Post.
She is
Washington Post.
She's been a working journalist. Oh, good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then, my number, however, is this: is that our friend Ev Williams got a $57 million investment from Andreessen Horowitz, new partner with participation of Google Ventures, Greylock, who'd also led Series A, and of course they count Obvious Ventures, which is Ev's own fund, pretty much. And so $57 million, I think just like Twitter, we still don't know exactly what the business model is.
This is, you're talking for Medium.
Medium. There was some complaining on, I think it was Business Insider, commentary saying that it's become a place for op-eds and free press releases.
I like Medium.
But I like Medium a lot, and I think they're doing neat things. I just wrote a piece on there about how we have to fix advertising, which is a topic we talked about in the show last week. But I chose Medium as the place to put it. By the way, I also experimented, and I put the exact same post on Facebook's new improved Notes.
Oh,
which and is how did that go?
Like, conversation on both, different kind of conversation, but the Facebook, had real conversation, so it was good. So
nice.
It was an interesting thing. So, anyway, but I wanted to give a hats off,
tip of the hat.
I'm tired.
Tip of the hat.
Tip of the hat to Ev, who's changing the world a third time, we hope, and in a $57 million investment.
I don't know who would invest in Evan Williams. Whatever was he ever done?
I know. So I apologize. I must say, hasta luego.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
I'll see you later. You know, adios. I've been using that Facebook's mentions thing. I tried it 3 times. It froze after 1 frame 3 times. I wanted to do a live video. How do you get it to work?
I talked to them about that at Online News Association, and they said that it has a high threshold for video quality, and they're trying to fix that. They know it's there.
High threshold for video? I mean, it crashes?
Yeah, it crashes at when it can't do the video it wants to do. It says "F you, I'm going home."
I think we have some capability here in the Twit Brick House for streaming video.
All right.
Yep. Okay, Facebook, you know best.
I don't know what's happening.
It does facial recognition, Leo, so it recognizes.
It sees me and says, oh, we're not letting him on. I'll keep trying because I want to do that. It looks like fun.
I do. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Safe travels. Thank we'll you. See you next
Vaya
week.
Vaya
con Dios. That always sounds like not so good. Like,
yeah.
Go with God.
Yeah, because you're going up, but not here. Anyway, I hope he gets home okay from Medellin and stay away from the white balloons.
Check your bags. Yeah.
Check your bags. Matthew, is there anything you want to share with us?
Well, there was some Twitter. There's a lot of Twitter chaos and drama.
No kidding.
Going on, as usual. so actually that company seems to, it doesn't actually make a product. It just, it's a drama factory. And so.
No kidding. There's always something going on. Yeah. It's a drama factory.
It sounds like Jack Dorsey's probably going to be the CEO soon.
Well, I thought he said he wouldn't be the CEO if he couldn't continue to run Square. And the board said, no, you have to devote 100% of your time to Twitter. Right. So how did they resolve that?
Both of those things happened. So so what's probably going to happen is the board will say, turns out we changed our mind and he can run both companies.
Oh, Lord.
So that whole thing we put out saying that wasn't going to happen.
No, we take it back.
It's going to happen. So at least that's what I'm hearing anyway. It sounds like there's been a full court press from a bunch of different insiders and board members and investors that Jack needs to be the CEO. It's going to be very interesting to watch how he handles that because Square is going public and he's going to be CEO of that as well. So a brand new public company, you know, with a lot of pressure on it. And Twitter, which needs a lot of help, that's either one of those would be enough for one sort of normal person. And people are pointing out, well, Elon Musk, you know, runs SpaceX and Tesla. But I mean, he's Elon Musk, for God's sake.
Yeah, and he doesn't run SpaceX.
Plus he doesn't really run it.
Yeah.
Jobs ran Pixar, sort of, and Apple. But, you know, the examples are very few.
Steve Jobs.
When someone's been able to do that. And Twitter isn't just, hey, I'll come in to some board meetings and sign some papers and stuff. I mean, it needs serious help.
Well, and he's done this before and it didn't work so well. Even though Square is just across the square, he can run, you know, and can walk back.
Yeah,
and
at
forth.
Least they're close. But, you know, the history of that company, Jack has been ousted
many times.
Like two or three times. I've lost count. And so, you know, it's not as though he comes.
I love it. Twitter totally. is opera.
It is.
It's drama.
It's drama. So
try and picture the board meetings there. Ed Williams, co-founder who ousted Jack, is on the board. Jack, the chairman and sort of interim CEO who was ousted by Ev, is on the board. Dick Costolo, CEO who ousted Ev as CEO, is on the board. I mean, board meetings have got to be like, you know, I don't know. I can't think of anything. Like,
but can't we just – Twitter's not, like, losing money. They're not going bankrupt. No.
In fact, they're making – money is not the problem. Making money is not the problem. Growth is the problem.
So, well, only because the stock market wants to see them grow.
Right.
But what if you just said, hey, we're doing fine. Let's just keep on keeping on. Let's not go crazy trying to monetize. We're making enough money. It's a public service.
The stock will tank.
And then what?
Well, and then Google buys it. You become takeover.
A hostile takeover.
Yeah. So Google's been, you know, mooted as a potential, you know, especially since it feels like they're giving up on Google Plus. Twitter, they're integrating Twitter quite a lot in search. They really love that real-time data. Mm-hmm. Twitter has it like nobody else. And so there's a fit there. You know, the price is just a little too high, I think. Anyway, it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. It's a shame they went public.
It is kind of a shame. Someone, I forget who it was, it might have been Sarah Lacey, said Twitter's biggest challenge or the thing that has acted against it the most is it went public in the age of Facebook. So everyone expects it to be Facebook. Why don't you have a billion users? Why don't you have, you know, why aren't you worth $250 billion? Because it's a very, very different service. And yet, so if Twitter was all by itself and there was no Facebook, it would look pretty good, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're a public utility. They're a public service. You can't watch a TV show without seeing the hashtag.
And, oh, yeah.
They make money. They even make money.
Yeah, it will be interesting once their new Project Lightning, the sort of curated
the news thing,
product. That'll be interesting to see, because it's such a huge news platform. I mean, that's why I'm on it. You know, 18 hours a day. I just, it's just it needs to be a little easier for people who aren't kind of obsessive nerds like me, or who haven't spent 4 years trying to curate lists of people they follow.
Well, maybe if Jack does come in, his job one should be to buy the stock back and go private and then just coast.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have to run it. Just coast.
That would take a significant amount of money.
They're worth a lot, huh? Oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you go, Matthew. Thank you so much, because we're going to do a little maker demo here.
Little project.
Yeah. I think this will be kind of fun. Matthew Ingram is at Fortune.com. Read his coverage of the Twitter boardroom brawls and ongoing coverage of the drama.
Oh, yeah.
At Fortune.com. Thank you, Matthew. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
See you later. Aaron Newcomb brought toys. So I thought, you know, we just kind of do a little extra at the end of the show.
Yep.
We'll call it Aaron's Toys.
Aaron's Toy Box. What did you bring us today, Aaron?
Aaron?
A big toy box.
Hello, Aaron.
Let's reach in the toy box.
That would be a good segment.
It would be. So I like to bring a project for you, and this is actually our Makerspace's Mega Doorbell.
Mega word.
Doorbell. This is why you don't ever throw anything away. You either keep it and take it apart, or you bring it to your local Makerspace. They'll take it.
They'll find something.
They'll find something to do with it.
Oh, John, when we need to get rid of the stuff in the basement.
Oh, there we go.
Give it to a Makerspace.
Absolutely. Find a Makerspace.
We got a lot of toys.
Find a Makerspace. So I don't think I have a video on my side, and I don't think this is...
Do you need an HDMI port?
No, I don't. Actually, I need an overhead camera. I don't think there is one set up.
Do we have an overhead camera, or should he slide over to my overhead camera? People are jumping and ladders are...
going through hoops. Well, let's talk about it for a little bit. We'll see what they can do.
So,
a couple things, right? So this is using some really cool technology from Adafruit. You know Adafruit.
We were just talking about Adafruit and Lady Ada.
This is a little thing they call the Sound FX. Oh, wait. Look at that. Where am I? Over here? Oh, look at that. Nice.
Is that a good... Tell us when we got a good place for you.
That'll work. We can make that work.
Make it work.
So this little board, it's 1 inch by maybe 2 inches. And it's called the Sound FX. I think it's like $20 or something like this. Basically, what it does is it gives you the opportunity to load some sound files onto the board, and then they've got these pins, and you can connect it to buttons and all sorts of things. So if you're building something and you need to incorporate sound and you want to do it in a really easy way, this is a great way to do it.
So it's not like a Raspberry Pi itself.
It's not a Raspberry Pi. It's just a little circuit board. It has 2 megs of memory, not much, so you have to keep the sound files small. They also have a 16-meg version, which can handle larger files.
But it has to fit in there.
But it has to fit in
there. 2 megs is enough for a doorbell.
They've made this thing super easy. Exactly. They've made this thing super easy to use. Basically, when you hook it up to your computer, it'll show up on your computer as a mass storage device. You load your sound files on there. When you're done putting your sound files on, you hook it up to like just a wall wart on the wall. Then that turns on the music making magic.
So the micro USB port can both be a data port, which you use to copy stuff over, and a power supply.
And a power supply, right. And when it sees the data connection, it turns the mass storage on. When it doesn't see the data connection,
there we go.
I'm not watching what I'm doing. This will help. When it doesn't see the data connection, it's just power. It just draws power. And then the cool thing they did is, based on what you name the sound files, it will actually do different things. So, for example, if I hook up these 2 pins and I have a sound file called RAND, or several sound files called RAND, it'll actually do random sound files. If you have it called NEXT, it'll just play them in order. And if you just have one sound file there called, this pin, .aug or .wave, it'll just play that one when you trigger that connection.
And how many pins are there?
There's 10 pins.
So you could have 10 different sounds.
So you can have more than 10 sounds, because on some of them you could have random sounds.
Oh.
And some of them you could have
going in order. So one pin could have 100 sounds that were randomly played.
If you had enough room. There's only, you're never going to be able to get that many files on here.
And it's so funny, because I built a dial-a-song for They Might Be Giants probably in 2000, maybe 1999.
Yeah, nice.
I had to build a Linux machine with a hard drive. Pretty much exactly that.
Yeah, yeah.
It just played the next song on the hard drive down the phone line.
Right,
this
right.
would have made it so much easier.
And you know, it is October. Is it October or is October tomorrow?
It will be tomorrow.
Tomorrow's October. Okay, I don't know what day it is. Tomorrow's October. That means Halloween's coming up.
Yeah.
You're going to be wanting to build some Halloween costumes. This is an easy way to integrate sound into your Halloween costume.
Uh-huh.
So this is level one. I've got this little speaker hooked up to it, right? It's a little, I don't know, 2-watt.
So this would be suitable speaker. For a costume.
Right? You can put this in a costume. You can put it in your hat. It's very small, right?
Let's hear the sound.
So let me make sure this is the big one's turned off.
Yeah, we're going to save that
here's
for
the
last.
Little. Here's the little, let me get it closer. Here's the little bong. I don't know if you could hear that at home.
That's actually pretty good sound.
Can you hear that, Brian?
Yeah.
Let me do it. So it's got some random sounds on here. I'll play the next one once this is actually done playing. Come on.
Are you triggering it by...
I'm just pushing the button. That is the dying battery on an electronic doorbell sound. Let's do one more. Let's do one more just for fun. I've got 9 or 10 of these on here. We won't go through all of them. Bong, bong, big bells there. Okay, so that's level one.
What
that's
format
cool.
of the sounds? Do they have to be waves?
They have to be wave or aug. And aug is great because it's compressed.
Yep.
So you want to use aug if you're using, especially if you're using the 2 meg version. Okay, so that's all good, well and good. Now I've got a doorbell at the Makerspace, but even as nice as this little speaker is, no one can hear it.
How much power could we?
Well, it has a built-in amp. It's like a 2-watt amp or something. It's pretty small.
That's tiny, but you could then power an amp.
You could power
from
a bigger speaker. You can definitely hook it up. So here's the deal, right? At the Makerspace, previous tenants were kind enough to give us this.
Is that a megaphone? What is that?
No, it's a Valcom paging speaker. Number
43. Your pizza's ready.
Exactly. So when you go to the car dealership, and they page out, Chuck, you've got to call on line one. Chuck, line one. This is the speaker they use out in the parking lot, right?
High fidelity,
and it comes with you need a 24-volt DC amp to connect to it.
Okay.
Now, I'm only going to turn this up to the lowest setting because
it's loud.
It's super loud. Let's see.
Please.
Let's play one.
Put your fingers in your ears now.
This might be a little loud, so here we go.
Oh.
Okay, that's not too bad. Now, that's the lowest setting.
Nice.
That's the lowest setting. So,
I need that doorbell.
Good.
That's
it
awesome.
It sounds pretty good. Got a little nice chime there.
Wow. That's actually surprisingly high fidelity. That sounds better than I would expect.
It actually is really good. And I didn't even know if I could get this thing to work, but I'm so glad I did.
Do you have a battery down there? What do you have?
Yeah, so you're not going to be able to see this. It's off camera, but it's actually a 24-volt DC amp.
Okay.
That's connected directly to the speaker.
Okay.
So what I did was, just to show you how versatile this is, now I'm going to switch this button over to pin one. And it should play a different sound. Let's see if it works.
It's time for Twit this weekend.
Wow.
There we go.
So
that could be your doorbell. Someone comes out to the front door and they ring it, they'll hear that. So you know someone's at the door.
From people you trust.
I like it.
That's there you go.
I just once turn it up all the way.
No, you don't want that. I can turn it up a little more.
I am the wrong person because I have my in-ear monitors. I'm protected.
You want me to do
a little
one?
More.
A little,
just a little more.
Just
a little more. Put your head.
It's time for Twit this week in tech.
Yeah. It gets really loud. But you want that in a shop, someplace with a lot of room. I mean, you want something that's pretty loud
that
so everybody
great.
Can hear it. So anyway, make
so
your own
tell
doorbell.
Tell us about this is the... Well, actually, first tell us the name of that part.
Yeah, so this, if you go to Adafruit, it's the Sound FX. And like
Sound
I said, there's
FX.
Two. There's four models, really. They have one where you can use discrete speakers like this, and they have another one with an 1/8-inch jack where you can hook it up to external speakers, computer speakers, powered speakers. So you can get either one. And then they have a 2 meg and a 16 meg version, depending on what you want to get. So
we love Adafruit.
Adafruit's
Lady
great.
Ada.
They do some cool stuff.
And there's the part, 1995. I just feel like this is a great place for makers. And Lady Ada's, we've had her on a Triangulation. She's great. And she does that Ask the Engineer show.
Yep.
And we were talking about her on Windows Weekly. So great.
Good stuff. Good stuff coming out of Adafruit.
Now, what is this?
You want to talk about that? I didn't know if we had time.
Yeah, I got time. You can't bring stuff and then not tell
us. This is the Onion Omega.
Wait a minute. Just let's guess, everybody. Is it a Tor router in a wristwatch? Is it Onion Omega? Is it onion? What's the onion? Is that it's got to be a Tor or something?
No, it's not.
Oh,
it could be though. So there's potential there. It's actually a small little Linux computer on a chip.
What?
Similar to Raspberry Pi. You want to open
it? It's like the Windows.
We'll do an unboxing.
It's like the Windows 10 Raspberry Pi. Do you have my over the shoulder or no? Yes, you do. It's like because that's a big thing, by the way, Adafruit now is the Windows 10.
Yeah, which I don't like at all, but I'm glad
Linux?
Adafruit did. Yeah, there's
Linux
no reason to
sense.
Do Windows 10, but let's not get on that one.
Yeah, I like the puzzle piece.
Yeah, isn't that cool? This is a very nice box. This was a Kickstarter project, and what's cool about it is it uses OpenWRT as the operating system.
So that's the router operating system.
Yes, exactly. So it's very small. It's for embedded. It comes with this thing you're taking out now is the extension board. Okay. Which allows you to add-on modules or hook up those pins as GPIO pins.
Okay.
This is the core unit here. This is the actual product. Look how small and cute that is.
So is that a processor there?
That's a processor, exactly. And this is what actually runs Linux. Now, by itself, just like that, you can't really hook it up or do anything with it. But it comes with a mini extension board, which is the other box.
Okay.
And so when you put those two together and turn it on, what it does is it automatically sets up its own AP. So you can connect to it. It has Wi-Fi built in, by the way.
So there's the USB port.
There's the USB. There's a Wi-Fi chip on there.
There's the micro USB for power.
Yep.
Where do I dock it?
So just line it up. Line up the shapes.
It's got pins on this side.
It's got pins on that side. Just line it up.
Does it matter which way I go?
It does. Yep. You got to match up the shapes.
Of course it does.
Match up the shapes. Yeah. One of them has... You had it the other
cut
way.
Cut corner?
Other way.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
It's like an SD card holder or something.
I would not be good at this.
Oh, sure you would. This is easy.
Right. And do I have to push it harder or is that...
Yep, push it till it goes all the way in.
Okay.
It's a little hard to put together there.
Yeah.
But the great thing about this is they're developing some really cool add-on modules for it. It's very small. It's really built for IoT. It's built for the Internet of Things. You could hide that inside of something and be monitoring sensors or running some sort of little locate me program. There's all sorts of things you can do with it. And
it's running
Linux.
A mini Linux? I mean,
it's a scaled down version of Linux.
Because this is the memory chip here, right?
Yep.
So how much memory does it have?
Oh, that's a good question. See, I knew you were going to ask me.
I wish I had a magnifying glass. I could probably tell you.
Yeah, it's not much.
And then this daughter board.
I want to say it's like 16 meg.
Look at that.
Oh, there's the specs there. 64 meg. I was close.
Okay.
16 meg of flash, 64 meg of RAM.
Frankly, this is also what your router looks like.
Exactly.
If you took the box out.
If you took everything out of your router.
Yeah.
You absolutely could.
And then, okay, so if I want to put this daughter board on, I do the same.
Yeah, you would actually take it off. Yeah, you would take it off of the,
you have to take the mini one off.
And put that one on.
All right. And then you get GPIO.
And then you get GPIO, exactly.
These pin connectors.
And there's also the add-on boards, which plug into those pin slots there as well, the purple pins. So you can do an Ethernet add-on board or you can do a Bluetooth add-on board.
This all comes with a kit.
It all comes with
a
kit.
How much?
Good question again. I think it was 35.
That's not bad.
You still have it?
Raspberry Pi like.
Raspberry Pi like, but small. The integrated Wi-Fi is a huge plus for people because Raspberry Pi does not come with integrated Wi-Fi.
You have to get a
module. So to have the Wi-Fi built in, there it is, $22.50.
What?
$22.50.
What?
Really simple to get started. It's not as cheap as the chip, right, which is starting to ship any day now. I can't wait for that to come.
I've kickstarted the chip.
Yep.
I did too. That was this what, $9.
$9, yeah, which everyone says that's impossible, but we'll see.
You know, what's amazing is the incredible price performance curve in microelectronics. As things get micro miniaturized, the cost goes down while the power goes up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy.
It is crazy.
And it's what's powering our whole world, including this Internet of Things, the ability to take what is functionally a full computer, including wireless internet access, into something this size for $22. You could put this in anything, you know, and make it internet capable.
Yep. And kudos to the developers. They've done a great job with the setup. Now, they're having some trouble getting the documentation because they've been so busy shipping these things out. But I did find some documentation, was able to get it set up in about 5 minutes. Like I said, it starts the access point. When you connect to the access point, you go to a web page and type in your local SSID and password for your local wireless, And then it goes out, updates the system, reboots, and you're ready to go. They're working on some other things like this, the Onion console, which will be a desktop-like environment for you to make it a little bit easier to use. And they've also got a cloud app with APIs already set up so that you can connect multiples of these things and have them up in the cloud and just run your API calls against them so you don't have to actually connect to it directly at all.
You'd be crazy not to become a maker in this day and age. Absolutely. The tools are so easy, so integrated, and the potential is so huge. I want to see your Halloween projects.
All right.
Let's do some Halloween projects, everybody, and send them along to us.
Send a picture
and,
or something.
We'll show them and talk about them. I'm not going to pull this apart. I'm afraid of breaking it.
So. It does come apart kind of hard. So,
yeah, I'll let you. Well, if I had a screwdriver or something, I could do
that. Yeah.
Very cool. That's the Onion Omega. And what was the URL for that, Brian, that you found that on?
Onion.io.
Onion.io.
Onion.io. That's
that is the best web address
Onion.io.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Onio. Onionio.
Onioio.
Onioio. Happy Podcast Day, everybody. Yes, this is International Podcast Day. I'm not making that up. Somebody else made it up. But if you go to internationalpodcastday.com, and I think we should celebrate.
Yeah.
Podcasts are an amazing medium that have kept me fed for the last 10 years, but I think also kept many of you entertained, informed, kept you company, and have transformed the media.
Absolutely.
So what will you do on Podcast Day? Hashtag Podcast Day. September 30th, International Podcast Day, and they're doing a live stream on Blab for International Podcast Day, so I bet you there'll be a number of people in there. Here's the historical timeline of podcasts and podcasting resources and all sorts of stuff. That's neat. Happy Podcast Day, everybody. Thanks for being here. We do This Week in Google every Wednesday, 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 20:30 UTC. You can watch live at twit.tv/live. You can also download audio and video from us, twit.tv/twig, or from wherever you get your podcasts on International Podcast Day. If you'd like to join us in studio, I have a couple of nice members of the audience. Just email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you. Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah,
great to have Aaron Newcomb.
It's always good to be here.
Thanks to NetApp, your employer, for letting you take the afternoon off. Thank you, NetApp. I bet you have to go back to work.
I do.
We'll see all the rest of you. I'll be back here Saturday. The new screensavers, Jason Calacanis, is my co-host. That should be a lot of fun. Of course, the Tech Guy Show as well. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.